Gut, check it, Pete. Hello, hello, hello.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm so sorry to give you trouble, you know, because every time I come here, I'm so special. I have special need. Okay. Okay, I haven't been with you for almost 5 months, right? Let me see. No. I left for Hong Kong on February. And I stayed in Hong Kong for about 2 months, and I came back on May 1st, right? And after I've been here, I was busy, and the Lord gave me a chance to preach somewhere and to lead a summer retreat in a special church, and then I come back here. I'm so thankful for Jeremy, and you invite me to here to share. So when I share something, probably I share something with the in Hong Kong, okay? And, okay, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I am so appreciated for my church, for English congregation, and they love the pastor, even I'm retired, so they invite me to come back to share with them. And I see them grow spiritually. I'm so happy to see lots of people coming back from college. And Lord, you really love this congregation. You bless this congregation. And thank you so much. We pray today. We have a time of fellowship and also a time of worship and a time of listening to your word. Let your word encourage us and motivate us to do what you want us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, okay, I share the subject is love your relatives, share your faith. Because I went back to Hong Kong basically to take care of my mom and also spend quite a time among relatives. On July 5th this year, 7-point magnitude earthquake in Southern California. How many of you don't know this thing happened? Raise your hand. I believe everybody know. Okay, I think Winfield know better, right? No, you are here already, huh? Okay, July 5th. You saw these two pictures showing the earthquake. 7.1 is very big, okay? But luckily, there's no, people get killed because of the earthquake. In tracing back, 30 years ago, October, almost close to 30 years ago, October 17, 1989, 6.9 magnitude earthquake in Bay Area. At that time, you're still in Hong Kong, right? Is that? Oh no, I think probably in the United States, 30 years ago, okay? And we see, where's this bridge? This freeway in Oakland, right? Oakland and just sandwiches, you know, and very bad. And also in San Francisco, one building almost collapsed, yeah. I was I have a strong feeling about this earthquake because at that time, my two children were very young. At that day, I brought them to go swimming. All of a sudden, the earth came, the water, you know, and create motion, and then the people say, "Hey, coming up from the water, we need to run because the earthquake happened." I just draw the kids out and stay on the boulevard. Yeah, and that earthquake is very, very strong. And after that earthquake, until now, almost a period of 30 years. During this period, lots of minor earthquake happening, you know. You can name it if you pay attention to the news. And then the geologists even predicted there will be a very, very big one happening very soon in Bay Area. You get this news, right? I mean, the insurance also come bugging you. Hey, buy the earthquake insurance, you know. So something is coming. The frequency is more, and the earthquake become much, much bigger. Why this thing happened? You know, if you study the Bible in Matthew chapter 24-25, when Jesus predicted that Jesus would be coming back pretty soon. Before he come back, there were lots of trouble happening, you know, like earthquake, like the wars, you know, like the famine. Name it. We figure out that in these couple years, we're listening, lots of things surrounding us. What's the problem? The earth is going to be destroyed pretty soon, you know. Lots of people have that kind of thing. You know, that's exactly, you know, what fulfilled, those events has been fulfilled, what Jesus said. Before I coming back, you know, you will suffer lots of pain during this, among these tragedies. The Bible, the author in the Bible, uses a pain. That's the pain is the pregnancy pain. When a mother delivers a baby, before that, he suffers the pain. And the pain was increasing more and more before the baby was born. That's exactly the illustration. When Christ coming back is a glorious day. But before he coming back, lots of bad things happening. So it gives us a warning. What are we going to do? Are you ready for to prepare for Jesus coming back? Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready? I think two kind of people we have to see, you know, when Jesus is coming back, what will happen. Number one, for our Christian, we are so happy we see Jesus coming back. But the question is that, are we ready to see him? You know, yet that means that are we really doing the job what Jesus asked us to do before he comes back? He gives us opportunity, give us many gifts to be exercised, to do our best, to fulfill our responsibility. It doesn't mean that you have to be a full-time pastor. You have to be a missionary. But you're a housewife, you're a student, you're a father, you're a wife, you know. You have a role play in his kingdom. You know, do we really exercise to become a good servant of the Lord before he come back to see us and we see him? If we do, we are blessed. The Lord said we are a faithful servant. This is one kind of category, people. But the second category of people, the last people, he didn't know Jesus. And they do not accept Jesus as their personal savior. Their sin is still has not been forgiven. What are they going to do? You know, Jesus coming back is not a good news. It's a bad news for them because they receive the judgment from God and then they were lost in eternity. So that's a very serious thing. So for us Christians, we have responsibility. We need to preach the gospel to them and help them to accept Christ and then believe in Christ so their sin will be forgiven and they will not lost in eternity when Jesus comes back. So today, the day is close. The day of Jesus Christ coming back very soon. We have to seize the moment, share the good news with the non-believers. Of course, we can do lots of things in the church, but you know, sharing the gospel with other people, you know, rescue the sin, rescue the people, and then they know Christ, the sin to be forgiven. This is the top priority. We need to pray for that. We need to work for that because this is important. So I put a title here, Love Your Relatives, Share Your Faith. Why such title is so important? Talking about preaching the gospel to the people who have not received Christ yet, I think who are the target are the most important. Personally, I'm so convinced that your relatives, your immediate family, your dad and mom, your siblings, and your auntie, if they have not believed in Christ yet, this is your top priority. Let us read the scripture. We would like to read two passages. We first read first passage first, and I explain a little bit, and then we are going to read the second one. Why don't we read 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 first? Okay, let's go ahead. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Brothers and sisters, you know, there's a background about this verse when Paul talking about, you know, this verse. He's mentioning about that we need to take good care of our family in the material needs, like the food, like the money, like the lodging, okay? And he make a conclusion. If we do not take care of their family need, their material need, we are worse than an unbeliever. Because the unbeliever knows how to love their family, take good care of their family, feed them. Nonetheless, if we, a Christian, didn't do that, we are worse than that. We lost our testimony. Okay. Here is a background about this verse. Because in the apostolic church at that time, lots of church members, especially, you know, some of the church members, you know, their husband died, and then their wife, and do not have a job. Because at that time, the widow, you know, do not need to go to work. Maybe they lost the skill of working outside. Or they all depend upon their husband. Husband is gone, they lose the ability earning money and support their family. What are they going to do? Paul said, okay, the children, I mean, need to support their family, their parents, even their grandparents. Don't let the widows and need to be fulfilled by the church. The church really need to take care of those widows who have no relatives. And so, this is the question, this is the statement Paul encouraged, I mean, the brothers and sisters, if the family have widows, no house, no job, no food, what are they going to do? They need, I mean, the family members, the children, need to take good care of them. You know, this is the background of this Bible verse. I apply this Bible verse. How about the spiritual need? The spiritual need is even more important because material needs on this earth is temporary. Very fast will be gone. 20 years, 30 years, the parents and the grandparents will be gone. But however, if they're gone, where is their soul? If they did not believe in Jesus, they will last in eternity. That's horrible. The need is so dramatically, in demanding. So I personally apply this Bible verse to our desire, to our need to proclaim, to share the gospel with our immediate family. That's very important, brothers and sisters. Okay, the second passage. Okay, let's read together. And they say, believe in the Lord and you will be saved, you and your household, and spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. This verse recorded in Acts chapter 16, verse 31 to 32. There's a background. Paul and Silas preached the gospel in the city of Philippi. However, Paul performed a miracle, cast out a demon in the lady, and so the lady lose the magic power and to fortune telling. Because of her word, make lots of people believe in him and then get a lot of money. However, when Paul cast out the demon, and then she lost the power. So the owner who hired the lady performed such magic to bewitch people and to gather the money, feel very angry at Paul and Silas. And so they draw this apostle to the government officer. And the government, the magistrate, the ruler of the government at that time, and then really, beat Paul and Silas without even open the court and to judge what things he had did wrong. So Paul and Silas was really put into jail, in the inner cell, and then suffering because they beating him so hard. But however, during that night, they sing and praising God. They thank God they can suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, even when they preach the gospel. And all of a sudden, God performed a miracle, happened. And then, the door is open and also the chain is loose, and then the jailer figure out that, whoa, that's big trouble. All the prisoner were already gone, free, and then I will be in trouble. I got to be killed by the ruler. So he wanted to kill himself. And Paul said, don't kill himself. Don't kill yourself. I'm here. And the jailer, very frightened. He sensed that these are the servant of God. It's not common people. Why the earthquake is happening? God performed some miracle. So he said, okay, Paul, what can I do in order to be saved? But Paul answered in a strange way. He said, believe in Jesus, you will be saved and your household. This verse is misunderstood by lots of people. Once I believe in Jesus, all my family, my parents, my siblings, they automatically will become believers. No, there's no. Paul, he mentioned about believe in Jesus, you will be saved and your household. In other words, both you and your household got to believe in Jesus to receive the salvation. This is a promise from God. The promise is conditional. The condition is that your parents, your siblings, got to accept Christ personally, got to listen to the word of God so that they can be saved. They cannot be saved automatically. So, and they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house, and they all believe in Christ and they get baptized. Because of that, the joy filled the whole family members. So in other words, we have to know that from these two verses, we really care about our family, immediate family. Your parents, your sibling, if they have not believed in Christ yet, this is your top priority. You're starting with prayer. And then that's very, very important. Okay, let me give you an example. Okay, when would I finish my sermon? Jeremy? When? 12 o'clock? 12 o'clock. I got to be very rushed. Okay. I just finished one third. Okay, I can move that. Example of Abraham. We would like to learn from Abraham in his example, so we know how to preach of the gospel to our relatives successfully. All right? Yeah. Okay, because of the timing, I don't want you to read. I read it to you. Okay. That one who had escaped the camp and told Abraham, the Hebrew, who was living by the oaks of the Mamre and the Amorite, brother of Esco and of Anar. These were allies of Abraham. When Abraham heard that his kinsmen had been taken captive, he left for his trained men born in his house, 380 of them, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. And he divided the forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them and pursued them to Haba, north of Damascus. Then he brought back all the possessions, and also brought back his kinsman Lot with his possession, and the women and the people. Okay. These two pictures shows that Abraham leading 380 people, all the people were born in his family. Just 300 people. And with three friends, those friends are called the Amorites. That means those people who are different faith from Abraham. Those people are living in Canaan. And they defeat four kings. You can imagine this battle, so successful. And then rescue Lot, that means his nephew and his family. I mean, Abraham did a great job to his relatives, you know. This is the first thing show that Abraham loved his relatives. Second example, let me read to you. Then the men set out from there, and they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to set them on their way. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? So the men turned from there and went towards Sodom, and Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it from 50 righteous who are in it? Then he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak again, but this once again. Suppose 10 are found there. He answered, for sake of 10, I will not destroy it. When God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. The story is very clear. God wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of the iniquities. But I mean that Lot and his family live over there. And then Abraham know that, so he prayed, Lord, don't destroy the city, because we have righteous people, 10 people over there. Won't you do that? The Lord said, no, I won't do that. But unfortunately, we know that there are not enough people, 10 people, only 4 people. So God really sent them out before he destroyed the city. We know that because why Lot can be saved? Not because he's a good man. You know, when you study the Bible, the angel, go over there. Please, Lot, come with me. Daughters, come with me. And then I'm going to destroy the city. The people, I mean, Lot is not willing to leave. What happened? And then the angel grabbed their hands, running away out of the city. You know why the Lord do that? That's very important, because the Bible said, because the Lord had mercy on Lot's family. Why had Lot mercy on Lot? Because Abraham prayed to God. I believe that without Abraham prayed to God, Lot might be destroyed in the city. Okay, we can learn from Abraham. Three things. Act in love. Use a team. Walk with God. Pray earnestly. Teach diligently. Pass on. Brother and sister, remember these three principles. Very useful. I have been using this principle since I believe in Christ. When I believe in Christ, my age is your age. At that time, I was a junior high. Now, out here, I'm 67. How many years? Almost 50 years. All these 50 years, I'm using this three principle. I'm still using, okay? Act in love, use a team, okay? Let us see. Act in love, use a team. Then the one who had escaped came and told Abraham the Hebrew, who was leaving the ox of Mamre and the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and of Anah. These were allies of Abraham. And then the man set out from there and toward Sodom. Okay, let me, this one first. Okay. Oh, it didn't move, huh? Go back, okay. You know, did Lot really deserve, I mean, Abraham's love? You will study the Bible, no. You know, Lot is a very selfish man. I mean, Abraham loved Lot so much when he responded to the call from God, hey, leave your family, the place where your father lived, going to the Canaan. I will establish you a kingdom over there. We bless you. At that time, Abraham brought Lot and his family to go. And when they go together, and then the Lord bless them, and there are lots of cattle, lots of, servants, and one day they're fighting each other. I mean, the servant fighting each other. And Abraham say, hey, we are the relatives. Don't fight. Let us, you leave, you go to right, and I go to left. You go to north, I go to south. You let separate. You know, you make a choice. You know, Lot make a choice, say, okay, Uncle, I picked the best place to live. You know, Lot is so selfish. He had honored his uncle, because his uncle really loved him, brought him up from Ur. And then right now, when the decision comes to make, you know, to leave, he shouldn't have chosen the best place. He should let his uncle do that, because the uncle really loved him. But Lot didn't do that. But in paying back what Lot, you know, his attitude to Abraham. Abraham just loved his nephew. And he did not, you know, remember those bad things, you know. And then so, not only he loved and he used a team, when his nephew in trouble, okay, and he want to rescue him, you know, he not only by himself, he also have a team of his family, not own family, but also have allies of, you know, the Amorites, that means the people who worship idol, and then ask them to help. From this point, we learn something. Abraham, really good people skill, have a good relationship with the other people, even with the non-believers. We have to learn. It doesn't mean that, oh, today I believe in Christ, I'm so good, you know, you are the sinner, bad, that kind of attitude. We need, really, really need our labor, and also those people who do not believe in our faith, we can establish a good relationship with them. You know, you will wonder, you will be surprised someday, those people will help you, you know, in helping your relatives to believe in Christ, just like Abraham, using those people, develop a good allies with them, and then they help Abraham to rescue his family, his relatives. Number one. Number two, walk with God, pray earnestly. Then the men set out from there, and they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to set them on their way. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm not about to do? Would that be possible? Abraham do not know the Lord destroy Sodom and Gomorrah from this couple of verses. Is it possible? Huh? Is it possible? Hey, response. Daniel. From my understanding, it's very possible. You know, because, I mean, three angels visit Abraham, have two missions, two errands. One errand to tell Abraham and Sarah, hey, next year, you, Sarah, will give a birth to a child whose name is Isaac. The secondly, they are going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. When you study the scripture in chapter 18, from verse 1 to verse 15, you know, when Abraham received this three angel, treat him a good meal, after that, the three men prophesied, next year you will be having a son, and then the party is over, the three men is gone. Hey, bye-bye, Abraham. But what Abraham did? Abraham didn't stay there. Hey, bye-bye, see you next time. He just walked closely with these three people, follow them for a long while, right? Then the men set out from there and they looked down towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to set them on their way. And then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? These three men say, hey, listen, Abraham is really following us. We shouldn't hide. What are we going to do from him? What kind of attitude of a God? I can explain that. Why God telling Abraham? The relationship. The Bible said Abraham is called the friend of God. The friend of God. Would your good friend hiding something from you? No. He would tell you all the things in his heart. Secret. Right? Yes or no? If he didn't tell you, he's not your good friend. Your relationship is not good enough. But I think Abraham had a wonderful relationship, walked with God, so God did not hide anything from him. He blessed him. So walk with God, pray earnestly. And when we're talking about when Abraham know that Sodom and Gomorrah will be destroyed, the world, Lot, his nephew is living there, and Abraham begging God, you know, on and on until finally God said, and he said, if there are 10 people in the city, I won't destroy the city. And then he left. In Abraham's mind, you know, Lot, my nephew, got to have 10 people who believe in Christ, who believe in God. Just like me, I have 318 people who follow my instruction, believe in Christ. But unfortunately, they are not 10 people. But from the point of we are just seeing that, Abraham is one with God. And then pray earnestly with humility. What does it mean? I tell you, we need to pray earnestly, walk with God, and then God will show you how to preach the gospel to your relatives. This is the point. Finally, teach diligently, pass on faith. When Abraham heard this kinsman had been taken captive, he left for his trained men, born in his house of 380 of them, and went in pursuit as far as them. Pay attention to these 380 people are trained. I believe that in two ways. One way, teach them how to fight. I do not know where the Abraham learned that skill. There's no West Point, you know, academy at that time, right? How do they defend themselves? But obviously, it's born in us to train them. Not only trained in fighting, but also trained in morality, in the faith. And you take a look at the servant of all Abraham. They really follow Abraham's direction. Remember when Abraham say, "Hey, tell his old servant, go to my hometown and find a lady for my son to be my his wife." Okay, and then his old servant really followed Abraham and prayed to God. You see why Abraham has such a great influence? Because he really setting up the family altar and pray to God and teach his servant, his family, all the time. So they follow him. That's very important. Okay, these three things. Okay, I will spend 5 more minutes and we'll be done. Okay. Maybe my voice too loud. Scare him away. Okay. These three principles I've been using since I believe in Christ. I'm still working on it. Okay. Last February, I went back to Hong Kong. I preached the gospel among the relatives and I pray. You know, I really experienced God's blessing. About 4 people saved in Christ and 1 people's faith being strengthened and 1 couple, you know, relationship getting better. And I'm so happy to see this man, he is my brother-in-law. My elder sister's husband, he got baptized. Not all of a sudden. Every time I went home, and then I grasped the opportunity to preach the gospel to him, and also in building up relationship with his children at that day of baptismal ceremony, all the children, and in the middle, this is my nephew or cousin, 外甥应该是怎么讲, I don't know. And then I build up relationship with them. And then the first time I preached the gospel to them, I say, we cannot do anything. He won't believe in Christ. His son said, he's so stubborn. Well, let's pray. Every time we pray, we go over there and preach the gospel, and then he accepts. And then after accept, and then I feel that, hey, he need to remove all the idols. And this time, I hope that I remove. Last time, I don't have chance. And this time, when I went back to see him again, hey, he say, John, you know, I remove all the idol by myself. You do not need to call a pastor to do it. And later on, and then he want to get baptized. All is God's work. And this one is another cousin, and he was a taxi driver. And so many years, when I preached gospel to him, he don't believe. He even encouraged me, don't go back to the mainland China, it's too dangerous for you. Sometimes I told him that go back to the mainland China to preach the gospel. But now he believes in Christ because God used the opportunity. He had a stroke and he's stuck over there. He feels life is boring. And I preached gospel to him and he believes in Christ. This is my sister in China. He was the one who really trusted the Lord, very faithful. He removed all the idols in his house. And my brother-in-law and her husband believed in Christ and he passed away. He go up to heaven because he has a cancer in the liver. And then he bear a testimony. He say, oh, after this year I suffer a lot, but I'm so happy, I need to go home. You know, he told his wife, you know what happened last night? God brought me up to heaven. In the heaven, so happy, so beautiful, so joy. I won't want to suffer with this disease anymore. after that couple of days, he just passed away. He bear a very, very vivid testimony. So his faith is very strong. Okay, here in the middle is my mom. And my right-hand side is my son, and the next to him is my daughter-in-law. And the one next at the right-hand side is my daughter, is a pastor in the Kowloon. Why I show this picture? I just try to tell you, we have to use the teamwork to help our family. And the Lord opened the door for me, the pastor, his church has a fellowship who can absorb the old man, even older than my mommy. My mommy is 93 years old, have Alzheimer's, and then in her fellowship, you know. Isn't that wonderful? You know, who can take care of an Alzheimer's lady, 93 years old, just incredible. How can you have a meeting? And the church have that kind of meeting. And the pastor so, generous, so caring. So I brought my mom and to go and attend the meeting. The point I'm trying here, you know, you need to develop lots of relationship with your surrounding. You will be surprised. You cannot help your relatives, but I mean, the relationship can help. The other group can help. Other people can help. And then fulfill God's word. Just like Abraham, how can he help Lot? He even, developed a good relationship with the unbelievers. And then when his Lot had trouble, and then they helped him to rescue them. You know, God can use any resources. So just be watch out. Okay, so finally, this is a picture I show you. The Lord had grace on me. I graduated from a seminary with a doctorate degree. What should I do at that time? I brought my family, my daughter, and her son, and her daughter to go over there. And in the middle, this is the principal, the president of the seminary. And at that time, I asked my Rong Rong and telling her to pray to bless me. He said, "Dear Heavenly Father, today is a great day for our grandfather. You honor him and give him greatness today. We pray for him to glorify your name with his doctorate degree of prayer in the days to come. I also pray for myself and my sister Abigail Riri to have a trusting heart in you like Wai Gong that is me. Please give us trusting heart in you, even greater than Wai Gong's, so that our lives can glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen." I do not know whether Rong Rong will understand what does it mean, but I teach her, you have to do it. Okay? This is the way of teaching. Okay? When my kid, 2 years old, I start already turn on the radio, and learn quickly, family, how to say thanks, something like that, to family devotion, all right? Recently, my son coming back to the United States for 10 days vacation, he already left. And then we take the chance to get a family picture, and then it's not easy. He's busy, but before the family picture, let us have family devotion, okay? And I share, we are ready. Are we ready to prepare for Jesus coming back? You know, I share this message to them. Encourage each other. That means that the point I'm trying to say, I learned from Abraham, you know, teach diligently to your family members. Build up family altars. Sooner or later, the value of the biblical principle will help. Okay, 3 points. Act in love, use a team, walk with God, pray earnestly, teach diligently, pass on faith. You have been doing until you see face to face the Lord, and then you will see the result. Let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We know that you are coming back. We were sinners. We are weak. We are helpless. Sometimes we do not know how to help our family. But Abraham is a very good example for us. Father, let's learn from him. We just trust you, Lord. Not because we are able, but because you are strong. You can help us. We know it's a long journey, but it's a worthwhile journey. It's your promise. I mean, help us to love our relatives. Thank you so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.